Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Welcome to today's Powered by Transova podcast. You have Emily and Sarah here again with you. And Emily, correct me if I'm wrong, we are currently recording. This is our 50th. This is that episode, right?
Yeah, it's hard to believe that we've done that many already, Sarah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
That's right. Yeah. Just in 2 short years, we've managed to get 50 of these under our belt.
Yep. We've convinced 50 people to have to spend their time talking to us. So I think that's an accomplishment in and of itself. But today we actually have a very special guest to celebrate the 50th podcast episode. We have Dr. David Faber with us to kind of chat about Transova in general, some of the influences in his life and where he sees the company moving forward. Welcome, Dr. Faber. Why don't you give us just a really brief background about yourself? I know this is your second time on the podcast, but let's just start with a little introduction.
First of all, congratulations on having 50 podcasts. That's pretty impressive that you've been able to do that. And I'm glad you've got this one in the as the 50th, because I'll be in the top 50 based on views or however you judge these, at least until you do number 51. So again, thanks for doing this and for having me on. As far as background, I was born and raised in Illinois on a grain and livestock farm. I got interested in the differences in livestock in our family farm. And I also got intrigued with how could the cow have a greater impact. Clearly, artificial insemination provided an avenue for a bull to have a lot larger impact. But cows that only have a calf per year and maybe 3 or 4 heifer calves tops in their lifetime, they didn't really have the ability to impact, you know, genetic improvement as much. And so I got intrigued with that. It is really where the interest came from. And because of it, I went to the University of Illinois, both undergrad and veterinary school. And I went to veterinary school because embryo transfer was under the practice of veterinary medicine, and I really needed a diploma and a license to be able to do so. And that's how I got started from an educational standpoint.
Very good. Well, thank you, Dr. Faber, again, for joining us. I know you were one of our first interviewees when we first started this. So it'll be fun to go back and listen to both and see how your answers have changed, especially your intro there. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, a lot of the podcasts that we've done have been more technical, but I think it's good to get your vision about Transova and our industry on this as well, because a lot has happened since we last talked to you in 2021, pandemic, election, URIS, all the things. So, you know, back in 1980, when you first started Transova, is this what you thought we would be 43 years later?
Clearly, one could never look forward and be able to predict, you know, the technology and the industry and all of the things and all of the dynamics that are going to happen. And so I couldn't begin to sit here and tell you, nope, this is what I visualized would happen. But what I did believe was that the technology would reinvent itself. It was fairly new and early stage. And like most things, they tend to improve and get better and reinvent. And because of that, I wanted to grow the business so we were large enough to be able to afford either the research and development, or we were likely a likely choice as a purveyor of technologies if others implemented those. And so we attempted to grow the business and add technologies and things as we went.
You know, when you first started in the early days, I would say the phrase boots on the ground was a literal approach. You spent a lot of time traveling and, you know, building that client base. Can you share with us maybe a favorite memory or a funny story? We've often mentioned that we'd start a book or a podcast series of just funny stories from the road.
And we've talked about how we should have done that and recorded those. And I, I've had this question before and I've thought about it. And most of the time, the stories I think of, I probably can't share to protect the innocent, so to speak. So we've certainly had a lot of fun over the years. But I think the favorite story is just the boots on the ground and the opportunity to be out there. You know, first of all, we got to go to leading farmers and ranchers places. And so that was, you got to interact with the best of the best, so to speak. And then work on the very best cows that when you opened up the breed journals and those kind of things, you saw pictures of, or pictures of their sons, or those from that standpoint. So that was really interesting. But then probably where a lot of the stories came from were just the people we traveled with and the places we were at and the places we had a stay or all the things we did. And you're right, had we really been entrepreneurial, we'd have recorded all these and published a book.
One of the memories I can remember is the first time that I rode with you on that plane to visit the Chillicothe location, and they circled it and they circled it and they circled it because they were viewing like the Chillicothe location. And I got so sick on that plane ride, and I was not very old when that happened.
I do remember that I think you were various shades of green for most of the day. It didn't get better when we landed, but yeah, you did occasionally travel with me some, and spent a lot of time in the a lot of time when I'd be transferring embryos or collecting donors down in the collection areas and rooms. So those are all good memories.
I think we need an episode just on memories from the Faber kids of growing up on the main farm at Transova, because I think Dan, when we talked to him for his episode, he said that his first business venture was a lemonade stand at Transova, I think he said. So we need to get an episode just about that.
Yeah, Dan, I don't know whether this was Dan or Sarah's idea, but on the lemonade stand, but I particularly was intrigued with their marketing approach. They sold two glasses for a quarter, free refills. So I always found that as an interesting approach to their marketing strategy.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure we used all proceeds to the vending machine that was there in the office. So I'm really sure we never came out ahead.
Yeah, well, that's probably true.
Funny. So, I mean, looking back, you know, on building the business, what values are important to you when you think about the kind of business that you want to build? You know, if somebody's looking at dreaming big, of like you did, you know, what have, you know, reflecting back, what values do you think were important?
Well, you know, our values were actually chosen by our team members. We had a business coach trainer in, and he came to me and said, David, I think it's time to clarify or quantify your values. And I said, I think you're right. And he said, I'll do that for you. And which made me pause, because I thought, no, that's my job. And he said, no, it has been your job. I'll go get them from the team. And those values that came back were the ones that we use today, which were client satisfaction, excellence, teamwork, integrity, and balance. And I think, you know, there's, as we look at those, I think excellence, teamwork, integrity are foundational to, you know, to being successful. If you don't do those, you probably can't have enduring success. But the very first one we list, client satisfaction, is absolutely necessary, because without clients, the business doesn't go forward, regardless of whether you've got teamwork and integrity and all of those type things. And so, you know, the way we've always looked at it is client satisfaction is absolutely necessary, and those others are foundational to who we are. And you can choose different words and things from that standpoint. We're now part of Eurus. Their values may use some different words, some exactly the same and some different words, but very, very similar in terms of their overall thought and approach to business.
Is there an area that, like, do you have a proudest accomplishment, or are there certain areas of the company that you're especially proud of, or is it the whole, you know, the whole venture in general?
You know, sometimes as you look back, things that you maybe take for granted as you're going, but that you have moments where you're proud of what we've accomplished are, first of all, that we've attempted to operate the business with the values. And I mean, we've paid our bills, we're in good standing with all of the regulatory agencies, all of those kind of things. So we, you know, we've tried to run the business in the right way. And, you know, I'm proud of that as far as what we've accomplished. We've become the industry leader, both in terms of market share and technology. And that's something to be, you know, to be proud of. Most recently, a moment when I was really proud was when I was at the in Nashville at the summit that the two of you worked and organized and spent an awful lot of time working on, just sitting there. And, you know, we had, what, 150 of our team members there, and being able to observe, watch, see that team and the quality and the talent and things that we've attracted and is something to be extremely proud of. And at least it was for me, it was a moment that I was really proud of what we had built as a team, you know. And then I guess should have probably been listed first, because it would be clearly be what I'm most proud of, but it would be family. It'd be three kids and three son and daughter-in-laws and seven grandsons. And so those are kind of the things that if I think about what am I most proud of, those would be the ones.
You need to talk to your kids about breaking the grandson streak here. Somebody's got to have a girl at some point.
Yeah, that's, we may even start to have to offer cash rewards to get this done with 7 for 7. I don't know.
And, Sarah?
I'm done. This is all on Tyler's shoulders. So
yeah. Tyler's removed from the semen sorter, so I don't think that's going to help. And from that standpoint, so.
Well, there's still time. You never know. You could have 10 boys, and then finally a number 11 will be a girl. Dr. Faber, I think, you know, you've brought up some great points about where we've been, how far we've come. And, you know, but I think you also mentioned the URIS partnership, and we've kind of touched on that in past episodes, but not really dive too much into it. Maybe you could give us some background about how that came to be and how we kind of fit into the URIS family now.
I feel like we've really come full circle and come back to a really good place. We were a privately held business that we started, and it was privately owned, privately held, and we then had a tour of duty as part of being part of a publicly traded company. And we're now back to being a private company. We're back to being a member of one of a family of companies with family ownership. And so that feels, that part feels really, really good in terms of who we are and how it represents us, as well as moving from really being not only in the biotech space from an agriculture standpoint, but biomedical, et cetera. We're back to where we're really focused on agriculture and really focused on cows, which also feels really good in terms of where we're at. So, like I say, I feel like we've come full circle and landed in, and we started in a good place, and I feel like we've landed in a really good place now as well.
Building on URIS as a company, tell us, you know, the synergies that have evolved. You know, you talked about, you know, being all about, you know, livestock again and ag focused, and URIS's motto, so to speak, is it's all about the cow. So that obviously fits well with who we are as a company and what we do, but maybe explain what synergies are there now that we are a part of the URIS family.
First of all, I hope that we can bring value to URIS by being the pillar of reproductive excellence and reproductive technologies within the URIS team. And so hopefully we can continue and work with URIS from that standpoint. But then the family of URIS companies brings a number of different things to us. And as we would sit back and look at our business, and all businesses have strengths and weaknesses and opportunities and threats type thing, right? And when we do what's called a gap analysis and look at what are areas that we feel like we're going to need to work and build, the URIS family of companies really brings a lot of those. We don't have a lot of overlap in terms of what they had and what we had, so to speak. And so it's primarily synergistic, but they, URIS, because of the presence they have, brings a lot of market channel. And as we look at growing our business in, let's, for example, in commercial dairy, they have a fair number of relationships and background and information in that area. From that standpoint, they've got a much better international presence than does Transova. And we know that there's a lot of opportunities. We've built an absolute world-class toolbox, and that toolbox fits not only for the U.S., but for genetic improvement, fits in a lot of countries around the world in a major way. And so having some assistance or some background and some relationships there and from an international standpoint is important. And then they also bring a lot of data, and this is a data-driven world today. And particularly as you look at genetic improvement and even process improvement, data becomes really important. And they're a data-driven company. And so we see those three areas in addition to a lot of others, but I think those are probably the primary three.
Very good. Yeah, there's tons of opportunity with the Eurus family of companies. I think, I think a lot of us have seen it at different aspects. So it's very exciting to be a part of that and open a lot of doors. And I guess, so with that, Dr. Faber, maybe tell us a little bit, what are you excited for in the next year or 5 years in relation to Transova?
Well, I tell people that there is far more in front of us. And I think there's more in front of us in the next 5 years than there's been in the past 40, so to speak. And I think it has to do with where the technology is, what's occurring in the industry, our ability to not only serve the elite, continue to serve the elite cow, so to speak, but also commercial dairies and international. And so those are areas that I'm excited about, and I think we've got a lot of opportunity that's coming our direction.
From your standpoint, is there something specific you're hoping to accomplish, or is there something set in your sights that you're ready to check off your list, so to speak?
Well, I think those three are the primary focus areas that I'd like to see continued progress. As well as the other is just how do we continue to develop leaders, and it's something we've tried to work at from a Transova perspective, from some of the various programs and things we've had. But I think continuing to develop leadership at all levels throughout the company is something that I'd like to continue to see move forward.
Very good. So, Dr. Faber, we're getting down to the end of our list here, but what advice would you give somebody just starting out in the industry, whether a vet or an embryologist or just an industry professional? You've seen a lot in your years of, building a business, working in our industry. What advice would you give somebody that's just starting out?
Well, I think the most important advice is, first of all, to start, right? To have the confidence to move forward and to start. There's times where one thinks about different opportunities or starting businesses or different roles or whatever, but sometimes it's hard to start. And so that's the important thing to say, I think, is from that standpoint. And then secondly, it's not easy, right? That it's going to take a lot to get businesses started or to start in different roles, et cetera. And I think that's where if one has passion and work ethic, that will carry you through really difficult times. It's not always for the faint of heart. I know starting this business or starting any business in reality, it's never for the faint of heart, and it's never easy. But if there's passion, work ethic, and the value systems and things we talked about, I think it can be successful. And again, I think the most important thing is you've got to start.
That's very good advice for anybody that's listening. Is there anything else that you were wanting to talk about today that Emily and I haven't already asked you in our list of questions?
I don't think so. That was a great list of questions and discussion and things from that standpoint. I would like to say congrats on 50 podcasts to be able to do that, and the amount of information and things you two have brought to our clients and to the industry and to our team members and all those kind of things. It's pretty impressive. I'd be curious if you know how many views you've had on those 50 podcasts and how, from that standpoint, to be able to quantify all you've done. But thanks for what you've done, and thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, well, thank you, Dr. Faber. I think when I last looked, we were at about 37,000 downloads, which is pretty good. And, you know, we're averaging, I don't even know how many per episode, but yeah, we've had a great response and there's still a lot left to cover in this. So we've just hit the tip of the iceberg on a lot of things that relating to our business. And we're going to keep going until we run out of things to talk about, I guess.
Well, you'll probably get another 5 or 10 today because I'll probably open it and listen to it for one. So, I mean,
yeah.
Yep. And I would say Emily and I's job has been easy because first of all, we interview team members that are talented, knowledgeable. And so it makes our job easy because they, you know, they're sharing their information and their background and their stories. And so Emily and I just get to sit in the seat and listen. And that's the cool part of being hosting a podcast. I never thought I'd be on a podcast like this, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yep. Definitely.
That's a great point. When you've got great team members, and we truly have great team members, that would make this job a lot easier.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Faber, for joining us today. We will have you on again. Don't you worry. We'll come up with another reason. Maybe in another 50 for number 100, you can be on with us. So with that, we will wrap today. Thank you again. As always, if anybody has questions, reach out to us on any of the social media channels or email or our website. And we'll catch you all next time on the Powered by Transova podcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.